But Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to be, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. I'll give you a second to get there. We're just going to jump straight in to reading this passage. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Here we go. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that's Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. So growing up in the woods, in the swamp, that kind of thing, one of the things my dad taught me a lot about was how to find my way through the woods and not get lost and eaten by weird things. My dad has this best friend. His name's David. David's a real funny guy. Kind of a weird dude, but it makes sense because my dad's a weird dude. That's why I'm so weird. And David, one of the things he's the worst at, though, is finding his way through the woods. He's just absolutely terrible at it. I can't tell you how many times I'd get home from playing outside because, like, we had video games and stuff, but I was more interested in, like, playing out in the woods and stuff. So I'd be running through the woods, and the rule was just stay close enough that you can hear dad or mom or dad yell. And if dad was home, it meant you could go a little further because dad, like, yelled louder. And so we'd just be out playing. All of a sudden, we'd hear, "JJ, it's time for dinner." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I'll hop on my bike and ride home, right? So, yeah, I can tell you how many times that I would, like, get home for dinner, and my dad would be like, "I got to go out to the woods and rescue David," because David just went in the woods to go hunting or something and just couldn't find his way out, even with a GPS. Just couldn't do it. For some reason, my parents thought it was okay for him to take my 11-year-old brother one time. And the reason they thought it was okay is because my brother, like me, had been trained his whole life how to find his way through the woods. And so really, it was better for David that my brother was there. even though David, full-grown man, right? 11-year-old boy. Now, he's like me. He's a big old guy, but still, he's only 11 years old. And so they're wandering through the woods, and the story goes like this. I wasn't there, but the story goes like this. They had just finished hunting. It was a morning hunt, and they were coming out. And David was checking his stuff, trying. He was like, "Man, I don't know what's happening. Like, the road is just right. It should be, like, right here." And my brother would say, "No, it's that way." David was like, No, it's this way." And he would just keep going. And my brother was like, kept saying, "No, it's that way. It's like right there. I can see it, David." He was like, "No, it's right here." And David was convinced that he was going the right way, that he was leading my little brother in the right way. Eventually, my brother was like, "You can keep going the way you want, but I'm going to the road," and just turned and walked away. And sure enough, he was correct, because my brother had been trained to know his way through the woods and pay attention as he's walking through what he's going through. And so David, the leader here, the adult, had to come out and humble himself and realize that my brother was right the whole time. Being in a, quote, leadership position, or being the, quote, like, oldest person in the room does not qualify you necessarily to be a leader, right? A big part of being a leader is knowing what's going on around you enough to be able to bring people along with you, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that you have all the details of everything, but you know enough at least to be able to bring people along with you in a general direction. David was not so much a leader. You see, in our culture today, leaders are celebrated, right? They're the people we look to. They're the people that we celebrate. And we're told often, especially at your age, you're told, "Hey, you need to grow to be a leader. You need to learn to be a leader." And we're told, like, to go your own way, right? Like, make your own path, be a leader in your own way, and do all these things. Find your truth, find your happiness. We're told all these things. But, like, if you're honest with yourself, you have no clue what you're doing, right? Because if I'm honest with you, I have no clue what I'm doing either. No clue. Like, this thing called life, no clue, right? I've never done it before, so I don't know. I don't know what's happening, right? And so if you don't know what's going on, and people around you don't know what's going on, then why would you ever choose to follow, like, to lead yourself somewhere or to follow somebody else around you? Like, isn't that kind of silly, right? To follow somebody, like, imagine you're in the woods with my dad's best friend, David. Like, it'd be kind of silly to even be there, right? Because he's terrible with directions, has no clue how to find his way out. In the same way, why would we trust ourselves enough to go our own way and lead ourselves through this thing called life, right? It's mind-boggling. In verse 19, Jesus gives this invitation to the disciples here. First to Peter and Andrew. At the moment, they were just fishermen. They weren't disciples, but they were becoming disciples. Jesus just says, follow me. And over and over and over again to 12 different men who we know as the disciples, he says the phrase, follow me. It's this invitation to do life with Jesus is what it is. And here in this verse, specifically in context, he's calling the disciples. He's like literally Peter and John, these guys, he's calling them to follow him. But throughout the entire New Testament, we see that this call to follow Jesus is ultimately how Jesus calls every person, everybody. It's the open invitation to everyone to follow him. And that's to put your faith in him, to give your life over to him, and to follow his way, and to become a Christian, to put it in like modern day terms, right? To become a Christian, to commit your life to following him. And so this invitation specifically to these disciples also extends itself to us. And so Jesus is just calling and he says, follow me. But what does that mean? Does that mean like getting a straight line behind Jesus, put a bubble in your mouth? Right? No, that's not what it's talking about. When I was writing this earlier, I just had this vision of like a million people behind Jesus going, right? That's not at all. It's not that sort of thing. It's not really just read the Bible and just try to live life the way Jesus did too, right? So sometimes following somebody, we envision it to be just modeling our life. Let's do the things that Jesus did, right? And so if that's true, let's not really do anything until we're about 30. Yeah, that makes sense. And then when we do, let's just be homeless. Cool. We'll wander around, be homeless. Miracles. I can't quite figure that one out yet. But maybe I'll get there one day, you know, with enough power, I'll do miracles, right? So you can't necessarily exactly live life the way Jesus did. Now, the principles of which he did, the way he interacted with people, all of that we can model, but that still is not what it means to follow Jesus. See, these two simple words, they hold a lot of weight and a lot of significance. So for the disciples, these guys here in this passage, what did it look like for them to follow Jesus? Well, in verse 20, for Peter and Andrew, in verse 20 it says, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. So these guys are fishing, right? They have these nets and they're trying to, I don't know what they're doing, if they're just getting them ready or how far offshore they are, whatever. Either way, they're working and Jesus comes up and just says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they're like, all right. And they just drop their stuff and walk away. And it sounds simple, like you're just doing something, you put it down and walk away. But ultimately what they were doing is they were giving up everything. They walked away from their career. They walked away from their families. That's in verse 22. You see specifically James and John. It says immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. So these men walked away from everything, their families, their homes, their careers, everything we would define as a, quote, normal life. They walked away from all of it to follow Jesus. Notice, though, that in Jesus' calling, he doesn't ever say where we're going, right? And the disciples, they didn't say, like, well, Where are you going, Jesus? You going like up to the temple or something? I can walk that far. Cool, let's go, right? That's not how the interaction went. Jesus just said, follow me, and they just walked away and gave up everything. I think often we get distracted with the where. Like if you're already a Christian and you're trying to follow Jesus, we get distracted with where. And even if you're not a Christian, maybe you're trying to figure this whole Christian thing out, and you want to know the details. You want to know, well, what is all this about before I say yes? What we're trying to figure out all the plans, we're trying to figure out all the details ourselves, and we get lost in the where of following Jesus, so much so that we never actually follow Jesus. And for Christians, we get so caught up into like, okay, what's what are the next 10 steps when Jesus is really only saying, take this one step, right? It's this stepping out in faith that these disciples, they didn't know. I mean, they had seen Jesus do some incredible stuff even up to this point. When I say Jesus didn't really do anything until he's 30, that's not true. He worked with his dad and all kinds of stuff. But we just don't have anything recorded. But they had seen Jesus, even up to this point, do some pretty incredible stuff. So it wasn't complete blind faith. But even for us, though, it's not complete blind faith because we have an entire book devoted to the power of God and actual, accurate recorded history of who Jesus was. And so in the same way, there's no real blind faith there. We know the power of Jesus, but do you actually have faith in that and trust in that? That's what following is. It's not knowing all the where, not knowing all the details, not knowing the next 10 steps, but it's taking the one and it's taking another and another. It's about the journey along the way because Jesus never once gives an end game in all of this, except whenever he talks about his end game, which is to die on the cross, to stay in the tomb for 3 days, to conquer death and make a way for us to be made right with God again, for our sins to be forgiven and wiped away with his blood so that we could be in relationship with him if we put our faith in him. That was the ultimate end game for him, so that we could be made right with God. And so this stepping out in faith and following him is that beginning, starting that relationship that brings you back with God. And so you see, Jesus' invitation isn't to know all the details. He doesn't say, oh, here's all the details. When you kind of understand it all, then you can come follow me, right? And he doesn't say, follow me, and then I'll give you all the details. It's just simply follow me. That's it. So we have to step out in trust and faith. Sometimes it kind of feels like the game earlier, like if you're the blindfolded one and you're like, I'm gonna die. That's it. I just know. If like this next step, like I'm gonna fall off a cliff or something, right? You just know you're going to. Sometimes, even in the Christian life, it kind of feels that way, right? All the adults in the room are like, Yep. Because there are these moments where you just don't know because we don't know the end game, but there's trust and faith. And so when we're too caught up in the where, we're too caught up in knowing the details, we're too afraid to take the next step, it really shows our own heart and our lack of trust and faith in Jesus. You see, followers of Jesus are not just casual listeners. We don't just, like, true followers of Jesus are not people who just show up, listen to some guy talk about the Bible for a little while, and walk away. Those aren't true followers of Jesus. True followers of Jesus aren't just convinced listeners. Like, you believe it, but that's not enough. Just believing in Jesus, just believing that I'm saying true things about Jesus right now, that does not make you a true follower of Jesus. But true followers of Jesus are committed learners and followers. Meaning we're consistently learning Jesus more. Consistently taking steps of faith to get closer to him and closer to God. That's truly following Jesus. Not just listening, not just believing, but learning. It's this path. You don't just like go, all right, Jesus, here's my life, and then poof, like you get it all now. That's not how it works. Like it's this journey, this lifelong following of Jesus. When that clicked for me years ago, I asked the question, could it really be that simple? Like I had been working so hard to understand what it meant to follow Jesus, what it meant to really be a Christian. I was reading through the Bible and this phrase just keeps coming up, follow me, follow me, follow me. It's just that simple. And I said, could it really be that simple? Could following Jesus really be as simple as day by day, moment by moment, step by step, just trusting and following him? And the answer is yes. Like at the core of following Jesus and being a Christian is when you have so much faith in him that just daily you take one more step, another step, and another step. We don't worry so much about the where, but we simply focus on Jesus and take one step at a time, closer and closer and closer to him. And so we see there's a little bit of a cost to following Jesus, right? The disciples had given up everything. They literally walked away from their lives. And so maybe that seems a little scary. Like, well, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. We don't have to turn there, but later on in Matthew in chapter 19, we see that there's a cost to not following Jesus. There's a story of Jesus' interaction with a guy that has been dubbed the rich young ruler. I don't know if some of you are familiar with that story or not, but let me tell you. So this man, he walks up to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, this is going to be like JJ's version of this, right? So when you go read it later, you should go back and read it later for yourself. So this is my version of it. So this guy walks up to Jesus, and he says, hey, what good deeds, he says, do I need to do to get eternal life? And Jesus looks back at him and says, keep the commandments. And the guy was like, oh, okay, all right. Which ones? Right? And that seems kind of silly, because when you think of the commandments, how many do you think of? 10, right? Even if you haven't showed up in church ever your whole life, you probably have heard of the 10 commandments, right? So you think of 10, and so this guy's like, well, which ones? So for him, the commandments, there was this expansion of the Bible that the Jewish religion has that's just like hundreds and thousands of rules and commands and stuff that they've added onto what we know of as the 10 commandments and other laws in the Old Testament. And so he's like, okay, well, which ones? And then Jesus turns around and he just quotes, not all of them, but just a few of the 10 commandments. And the guy says, oh, okay, cool. Well, I've kept those, but I'm still missing something. What am I missing? Like, I've kept those commandments you just said, but I'm not there yet. So what else do I need? And Jesus says, okay, go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And here's one of the saddest moments in my mind in all of Scripture. The guy has heard the phrase from Jesus, follow me. And the disciples are standing around, and I could just imagine the disciples hearing Jesus say, okay, go sell all your stuff, sell, give your money, the money from it to the poor, and follow me. They hear this phrase, the disciples hear this phrase, follow me, and they're like, oh, is Jesus calling like another disciple? Is this guy about to be like number 13? This is awesome. There's going to be another one of us hanging out. And then this guy, it says he just simply walks away sad because he couldn't give up. He couldn't give his stuff up. He couldn't give up his riches. He couldn't give up his wealth, his position of power. Couldn't give it up. And so he walks away sad. Jesus said to him, follow me. And because he wanted so much the treasures of this earth, the possessions and the power and all of that of this world, he really walked away completely empty-handed for eternity. He could have gained everything in that he gained a relationship with God. He would have gained a relationship with God, which would have gotten him into heaven and saved him from the pit of hell, which we're all doomed to because we all sin. And sin, the punishment for that, is death, eternal death in hell. So this man had his chance to have eternal life, and all he had to do was sell his stuff, walk away from it, and follow Jesus. He couldn't do it. So he just walked away sad. I don't know. That's terrifying to me that somebody would choose to do that. He walked away sad. He walked away with nothing. And Jesus' invitation was simple. Follow me. But all of a sudden, it becomes not so simple, right? It's just two words. But if it means I've got to give stuff up, then it's not so simple, is it? You see, for the disciples, it seemed really easy. They were just like, oh, okay, right? And they just walked away from their stuff and they just followed Jesus. Or at least that's how it's portrayed in Scripture, right? That they just walked away from everything, didn't doubt it, do anything. They just stepped out in faith and said, all right, let's do it. And they just started hanging out with Jesus. But this guy, it was a much bigger thing. Why was it so easy for the disciples, so difficult for the rich young ruler? It was because the disciples were at a point when Jesus called them that they understood who Jesus was. That he was the actual king of the universe who had power over everything. They had seen him do miracles, which the rich young ruler had seen as well. They had even seen, there's a time where Jesus is walking by some of the fishermen and he says, hey, they hadn't been catching anything. He says, hey, cast the net on the other side of the boat. And these fishermen are like, who's this guy? He's a carpenter. He didn't know anything about fishing. They're like, okay. And they cast the net on the other side of the boat and they catch so many fish that the net was breaking. Like they couldn't pull it in. And all they did was change the position of the net to the other side of the boat. Like these guys knew that Jesus was even in control of the fish in the sea. So they knew that Jesus was worthy of being followed. They knew that he knew the way, that he could be trusted to follow. But the rich young ruler was not in a place yet at this point that he understood. And to my knowledge, he never got to that place. He had so much trust and faith in what was comfortable to him, which was his wealth and his power, that he couldn't step away from that to Jesus. Are you so caught up in going your own way? Are you so caught up in the things that you're comfortable with and the things that you like that you're not willing to give those up to follow Jesus? That's a question I have to ask myself constantly, and it's constantly convicting. The things that I try to pick up and put between me and Jesus, the things I try to put my trust in and my faith in, except for Jesus. You see, there's so much grace and peace found in those two simple words, follow me. Because following Jesus means that we get to lean on him and we get to trust in him. Like if we're trying to do all this on our own, if we're not trusting in Jesus, we're trying to be the leaders of our life, we're trying to go our own way, then you're fully responsible for your life. You're fully responsible for the path you walk. You're fully responsible for all of it. For all the people around you that you're trying to lead, you're fully responsible for them. But if you give up your position of power as leader of your life and you give that to Jesus, then that responsibility is fully on Jesus. You understand what that means? That all the weight of the world is no longer on your shoulders. All of it is now on Jesus, who is the king of the universe, who conquered death. And so I think he's kind of qualified to be the leader of your life, maybe just a little bit. And so this grace and peace that comes with giving your life over to Jesus is incredible. That he is the one who takes all that over. You know, he could have said, hey, if you want eternal life? You'd be like, well, yeah. He'd be like, figure it out. He could have said that. He could have said, figure it out. He could have just said nothing. Like Jesus could just say nothing. He could have just sat in heaven and done nothing if he wanted to. But he steps out of heaven onto earth as man, dies on the cross, and he says to you, he says to me, follow me. He steps out and provides a way for us to get to heaven. So there is a cost to following Jesus. I do want to be clear, though, that I'm not telling you that, like, to follow Jesus, you have to, like, sell all your stuff and leave your families and all that kind of thing. For the disciples, that was their calling. Their calling was specifically to give it all up and to walk with Jesus in the flesh, right? The heart of what this is, though, the heart of following Jesus is that there should be nothing in your life that is even equal to your love for Jesus. There should be nothing that holds you back from doing what Jesus calls you to do. If Jesus at some point in your life calls you to go to a foreign country and to like some scary place of the world to tell people about Jesus, there should be nothing that holds you back from doing that. There should be no fear of death. There should be no family holding you back. There should be no money issues holding you back. Because if that's what Jesus called you to do, then that's where you're supposed to be. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. Stepping out in faith, even when it's scary, and following him. There should be nothing in our lives that get in the way of Jesus. For some, to truly follow Jesus means that you've got to give up some kind of sport or extracurricular activity because it's become more important than Jesus. Or holds you back from following Jesus fully. For some, it may be popularity. You got to give up popularity. You have to give up trying to please everybody around you. I'm a huge people pleaser, right? And so one of the things I constantly have to keep in check is that. Because often, I'll let fear of displeasing someone keep me from actually doing or saying something that I'm actually called to do from Jesus. And so for some of you, that trying to please everyone around you is something that you have to get out of the way for you to truly follow Jesus. And this list could go on and on and on of different things in our lives that we may have to give up to follow Jesus. But what we gain in relationship with him and life and peace with him is so much more than whatever it is that we give up. See, following Jesus is to follow after something that is eternal, that will last forever, rather than something that could be bought or sold or broken or stolen. It's things that are eternal, that lasts forever. That's what we'd be chasing this. And so the question is, are you willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost? Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost? For Christians in the room, if you've already taken that first step of faith and you've started a relationship with Jesus and you're trying to figure out this whole following him thing and trying to get closer to him, is there something in your life that you need to move out of the way to move forward in your relationship with Jesus? Are you too distracted with the where that you've lost sight of the next step? You're trying to look so far ahead that you don't even realize where you are at the moment. You need to give all that up and all the stress and anxiety that comes with that and just step out in faith and trust. And some of you in the room, you're not Christians yet. Jesus is saying to you, follow me. That's it. You might have some questions. That's fine. You can ask questions. You can talk to me. You can talk to any of the adults in the room or a Christian friend. If you got questions, that's fine. You can ask those questions. But you can have all the questions in the world, and the answers to them are not what's going to bring you to Jesus. You stepping out in faith and finally saying, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. You will be Lord of my life. You'll be the one that's in control. That's what starts that relationship with Jesus. And then it's just day by day learning and growing closer to him.